Does everybody have a copy of the agenda and the treasurer's report? Excellent. Good to hear. Okay. We all good? All right. Thank you, Mr. Linder. Thank you, Ms. Woodworth. Okay. I want to welcome everyone to the Central Committee meeting of the Maryland Libertarian Party. I don't have my gavel with me, so this Diet Coke can will suffice. This meeting is now in order. My name is Bob Johnston. I've been the chair since 2007. I want to welcome everyone for coming out today, especially in these extenuating circumstances. There were a couple of people that were not able to make it. I understand why they couldn't, and I thought their decisions were prudent, particularly those who live or are with elderly people on a regular basis. I first want to thank Stu Sims and Crystal Woodworth for putting on this event. Stu and Crystal, either separate or together, put on the last four, and I'm very grateful for all they do and have gotten some really nice venues for our recent conventions. We have some famous LP personalities here today. My friend and co-worker, Tyler Harris. Tyler works for the national office. He's the head of the Prince William County, Virginia Libertarians, and was kind enough to come up on February the 4th, the day we had the special primary election to fill the vacancy for Elijah Cummings, to come out and get some signatures along with my other co-worker, Jess Mears, and the big kahoot himself, Mr. Fishman. So thank you to Tyler for doing that. The big guy himself, Dan Fishman, the executive director. Not only is Dan the executive director, not only does he live in Maryland, he's also a Maryland Libertarian Party member. Dan walks the talk. As some of you know, Dan is my boss, so metaphorically pucker up and kiss him, but don't do it literally in these times, but maybe at a later time when the virus has subsided. And of course, last but never least, our regional rep, our former national chair, all-around great guy, Dr. Jim Lark. In my 13 years as chair, I've probably presided over maybe 26, 27 Central Committee meetings. I can count on one hand the amount of times Dr. Lark has not made it up here. He lives in Charlottesville. He was at his Virginia convention yesterday down in Richmond and graciously gave up his afternoon to come spend time with us, as he always does, and I'm always grateful for that. We have a busy agenda. We will be hearing the reports of the officers. We have a constitutional amendment that will come up for a vote. We will be selecting delegates to the National Convention. We will be electing officers to the Executive Board and also any new business. To participate in the meeting, you must be a member of the Central Committee, as I said before a few minutes ago. You must live in the state. You must either be a life member or a dues-paying member of the state party within the last year. Dues are only $20. What a bargain. That's less than 40 cents a week. You cannot be registered with one of the existing recognized parties in Maryland, Democrat, Republican, and Bread and Roses, since we don't have libertarian registration right now. And you must agree to Article 2, the principles of our party in the state constitution. So, Dr. Glazer, would you please read off the list that you have right now of the Central Committee members here?
2.5 minutes while Central Committee members are listed.
While they're taking it, for parliamentary procedure, we use Sturgis. Sturgis, my understanding, is very similar to Roberts. If you want to get involved in party politics, I urge you to get this book. You can get it for $5 used on Amazon. It has all the reasoning and the rules for Sturgis and parliamentary procedure in general. It also has good information on how to run an organization and a meeting. Even better. We don't have people here that really game the system, right? I don't want to use the word game, but if you're going to be involved at the National Convention, there are people that know Roberts backwards and forwards and are going to use it to their advantage, so it behooves you to learn it and so you can use it for your own advantage at these meetings that some of you will see in Austin, Texas for the first time. Yes. I'm curious.
I was going to switch Roberts. Sturgis is also a standard group. Sturgis is a military project. It's a
simpler. The language is more straightforward. For example, if you want to end debate, you make a motion to end debate rather than call a previous question. If you want to, and then very important, Robert's Rules was created by a military man. Sturgis Rules of Order were created by a civilian woman. Those are pretty much the reasons. Roberts gets changed so frequently, you got to know which version you're using. With Sturgis Rules of Order, as he says, you can get a copy online. And then finally, and this is really important, if you're someone who thinks online, less than a page, the important differences between the two, how you can, if you know how to do it with Roberts, how you can do it with Sturgis. Very important.
Thank you.
If you're not familiar with Sturgis or Roberts, don't let that stop you from participating in the meeting. Just raise your hand. Let me know in English what you want to do, and we'd be happy to work with you. Okay. We have a good crowd today. I urge you to be respectful to others. I want to run the meeting fair, but I also want to keep it moving. So please, no speeches, no pontificating. Get to the point. There's a gentleman who's a friend of mine who's not here. Fortunately, he has a habit of bringing up issues he wants to change that we cannot change, like always wants single member districts in Maryland. I would love to have single member districts in Maryland. The comptroller would love to have single districts, member districts in Maryland. But that's a state constitutional issue, not a Maryland Libertarian Party constitutional issue. We can issue a resolution, but that's about it. And please be respectful of others and no crosstalk. If you stand and make a motion, allow others to have the right to respond. You will get the chance to respond if you disagree with them. Please don't get into crosstalk or back and forth with each other, please. I have no March Madness. I have no hockey. I have no English Premier Football League. So I'm in a grouchy mood, and I know there are several people in this room who are also in a grouchy mood. So, any questions before we begin?
Sure. We have three central committee members of Mass Foxy, and the central committee roles consist of 52 members.
Thank you, Dr. Glazer. Okay, we are going to adopt the agenda for this meeting. Everybody should have the agenda on the opposite side of their treasurer's report. Oops, thank you. I was testing you. Good job, Mr. Leonard. Is there any objection to that? I want to point out a couple of things. There's a weird quirk in our bylaws which needs to be changed, that we have 20 slots for the National Convention delegation. If we have 19 or less, we can nominate it as a slate. But if we have 20 people running for 20 slots, we still have to vote on them. I'm asking for unanimous consent that if we wind up having only 20 people running for those 20 slots, that we can nominate them as a slate. Is there any objection to that? Good. Hearing none. Number two, for the process of nominating delegates to the National Convention, if we have more than 20, what I'm suggesting is that each person get 30 seconds to address the delegation as to why you should be chosen, and that you can also cede your 30 seconds to another person if you like. Is there any objection to that? Dean Ahmad.
Yes, I would like that to be the rule, regardless of how many people are running. Since we allow people to vote for no further candidates, mm-hmm. In the event that there's someone that someone doesn't want to be in this delegation, I think they should be allowed to hear that person in order to decide whether that's the way they want to vote.
Does anybody want to speak against Dean's amendment? Mr.
You said that if an individual is running to be a delegate, that somebody else will be able to speak.
No. Okay. I'm saying that people who are running, the motion is that we only bother to hear from the delegate if there are more candidates. I'm saying we should be allowed to hear from them even if there are fewer candidates.
Okay, is there any, I'm going to drop mine and make that a friendly amendment. So is there any objection to Dean's motion that we will have 30 seconds for each, regardless of how many people want to go to the National Convention? Hearing none, that is adopted. One other thing is I want to move up the Chair's report ahead of the Treasurer's report. Is there any objection to that? Okay. We need a majority vote to adopt the agenda. The agenda can be changed after it's adopted, but it's going to take a two-thirds vote to suspend the rules to do so. So, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as is? Hearing none, so done. Thank you. And before we begin, I would like to ask the permission of the body to allow Dr. Lark to serve as our parliamentarian advisor. Dr. Lark is a former national chair, and he's been on the LNC for 16 years, so he knows parliamentary law as well as anybody. Is there any objection?
I would only do it with unanimous consent. By the way, I'm not an expert on Sturgis. I'm not an expert on Roberts, but I know enough to at least pretend that I know something.
Is there any objection to that? Okay, now, again, the final decision will sit with the chair and the body. If you want to appeal the decision of the chair, and it's an appealable motion, then it can be done by a majority of the body. But if necessary, I want the ability to ask Dr. Lark for his opinion. So thank you for that. Okay, any questions now before we begin? Seeing, hearing none, we will now have the reading of the minutes. Dr. Glaser.
Do you really want me to read the minutes? There's something in the December newsletter, and they're on the website.
This was from the picnic on August the 10th in Northeast Maryland last year, August, at Dave Stens on August 10th, 2019.
I moved not hearing the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor passing the minutes, as it say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Moves. Oh, nice try. Okay, the chair's report. Our registration right now is at 17,931. As of about a week ago, Richard Weiner of Ballot Access News filed a Freedom of Information Act to get this number, because right now, for those of you who aren't aware, since we're not a recognized party, the Board of Elections has segregated our registrations, and once we're back to being a recognized party, we will get those registrations back. But we have lost about 5,000 registrations, people who decided to register as independent or with one of the three establishment parties. I think the Green Party is just a little over 7,000 right now. We have 112 members, dues-paying members. Yesterday, we had a good run over the last month or so. It was down into the low 90s. So thank all of you for joining and renewing. We have been pursuing a lawsuit against the state of Maryland for two reasons. Number one, we had over 22,000 registered voters, yet since we did not maintain our ballot access, we have to go out and collect 10,000 signatures by August the 3rd. I think it's ridiculous we have to do this, since we have more than double the registrations. People were willing to register and identify and give up their right to vote in the primary, because this is a closed primary state. Also, we were challenging the signature standard, It's in Maryland, it's not enough to sign a petition Robert Johnston. I would have to sign Robert S. Johnston III. And if the S or the third is not there, the signature would be Chuck, even though everything else would be correct. We think this is the standard is capricious. Just about every other state would allow, you know, Robert Johnston would suffice as long as the address and birth date match up. We lost at both the circuit court level and Court of Appeals in Maryland. We took it to the federal court. We lost at district court and in the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court. So I believe the last two things we can do, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Blitz, is we could ask for another hearing at the circuit level or file to the Supreme Court.
If you can seek an en banc review, rehearing at the district court.
Or we could file with the U.S. Supreme Court. And that is about it. You know, the filings are about $500-$600. We spent quite a bit of money on these filings. Our chances are minuscule that the Supreme Court would hear it. I kind of like the idea because I'm listed as a plaintiff in the case, Johnston v. Lamone. How great would it be if the court wanted the Supreme Court level and they would be talking 50, 100 years from now? Well, Johnston v. Lamone, 2020, I would be etched in history forever. But what's that? Hey. Be positive now. As you're aware, we have been undergoing a petition drive. We need to collect 10,000 signatures by August the 3rd. We have about 3,000 signatures on hand. As Mr. Fishman explained, we've had some paid petitioners on the ground. We've been slowed down by weather. Some of the petitioners were let go because they were not doing a very good job. But the weather has been, the weather has really hurt us. And in addition, and then the virus thing has just really just put everything to a hold. We had about $30,000 to get this job done. Half of that came from the LNC. I want to thank people like Mr. Fishman and Dr. Lark, who was one of the votes on the executive board of the LNC, to allocate that money. $5,000 of that came from the state party, your dues and contributions. Another $10,000 came from David Lasher, with kind permission of the lovely Mrs. Lasher. I personally want to thank her. That's a lot of money. This makes Mr. Lasher a life member of the Maryland Libertarian Party. Now, I know some of you are asking yourself, how do I, Bob, become a life member of the Maryland Libertarian Party? If you donate about $1,000 within 12 months, you will be a life member. We have some other life members here, such as Mr. Sims and Mr. Blitz and Dina Mott are all life members. So thanks again, David, for your very generous donation. As Mr. Fishman explained, there have been some very interesting things going on in the Northeast regarding the petition drives in states where you have to, all candidates, including Democrats and Republicans, have to get signatures, particularly in New York and your old stomping grounds of Massachusetts. Governor Cuomo yesterday suggested lowering it down to 30, the signature requirement to 30%, and holding off and then backing up the filing period a little bit. And the Democrats and the Republicans are now issuing the same request in Massachusetts. So this is good. I mean, hopefully we will be able to take this and run with it, whether in the court systems or we'll probably have to go through the court systems. I'm not going to be sanguine that they're actually going to cut us any slack, but so we shall see. Once we do get back on the ballot, we will have a presidential candidate on the ballot. There are spaces for 8 U.S. House seats in Maryland. There's no U.S. Senate race this year. All the partisan races in Baltimore City and Cecil County, their partisan races are up this year. Now, once the state of Maryland says we are back on the ballot, we will have to convene a meeting to have 25 officers of the party approve of our constitution and bylaws. Then we will have to convene another meeting just to be able to nominate candidates. So we are up against the clock, depending on how all this goes, because we have to give at least 10 days notice to conduct a meeting. So there is a possibility we may only have a presidential candidate on the ballot this year, but I at least want that, if nothing else. Once we do get back on the ballot, we get two cycles, so we will be good through 2022, the gubernatorial race. Mr. Bell.
If the National decides the presidential nominee, but we in Maryland haven't done our proper procedure, can we still get the ball rolling as far as volunteering for the candidate and getting the word out?
We cannot legally nominate candidates until we're recognized by Annapolis.
We're not nominating. What I'm saying is like the presidential nominee.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, sure. You can get out and promote it. I don't see any. Unless does anybody see any? Yeah, I don't think so. And I wanted to say that we are having some nice success, early success, with our county groups. We have several that are running regularly in Arundel, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Frederick County. Mr. Miller, who lives in Easton, a new member, is now getting things cranked up on the Eastern Shore and has several people already attending the meetings. Crystal with the Upper Chesapeake Group. We're doing fits and starts in Harford County. Chris Gannon has a lot of stuff on his plate. I know he's been working on the Adam Kokesh campaign or whatever, so hopefully we'll be able to get that going more regularly. So particularly to the Anne Arundel group, they have been active bands come out to several of the meetings. You guys are doing a really nice job. I would love to see every county in the state organized and operating with such numbers, and frankly doing more of the activity and the work so that the state party is more of an oversight committee. Does anybody have any questions regarding the state of the state party? Okay, hearing none. Excuse me one second here. The platform committee met at the end of the executive board meeting on March 4th, there were no submissions or no changes to the platform. Mr. Linder, the treasurer's report.
Before we begin, the plastic name badges or plastic or name badge, you don't wish to keep this. Please talk on taking the way out and keep those papers in the plastic name badges back. For those, and then now for the credit report. 6 month period that ended in January this year. There's the numbers. I don't know what the
I was curious about the Baltimore County meeting and some of that stuff.
Does anybody else have any questions for Mr. Linder regarding the treasurer's report? Mr. Gall.
We need to amend the treasurer's report to say that Anne Arundel County getting a seminar, not Baltimore County.
We will take care. I'm going to remand the report. If there's nothing else, I'm going to remand the report until the next central committee meeting and have it passed there.
When do we correct that?
Or can we, or Dean, can we correct that right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not. Okay. Is there any objection to amending the report that it is Anne Arundel County and not Baltimore County expense? Okay, hearing none, it is so moved. Any other questions?
Yes.
Any other questions for Mr. Linder regarding the treasurer's report? Hearing none, thank you, Mr. Linder. Is there any objection to passing the treasurer's report? Hearing none, so moved. I would also like to point out that this time that Mr. Linder will be stepping down as treasurer of the state party. This is a very difficult job, and he has done it for 10 years. You need to know federal law, and you need to know state law, unlike being the national treasurer, where you only need to do federal law and keep one set of books. So I really want to thank Michael. He's been doing it since 2010, and thank him for all he's done. Yes, so true. There is a constitutional amendment. Want to wait for Dr. Glazer? There was a constitutional amendment. It's a two-step process. It was the first step passed. The committee met. The results of that report were in the most recent newsletter. Dr. Glazer, would you read the specific amendment?
This was also in the December newsletter and printed on the website. You
wouldn't
read it.
Please.
You
want to read it up?
Yeah.
Or Mr. Blitz, if you want to. Since you already have it in there, why don't you read it in your sit up? Please.
Okay. We do it through a budget. So what we do is in the separate resolution of the executive board. Then, what you do is amend the executive board's duties, the subsection F, by adding that the executive board shall authorize the expenditure of party funds by adopting a budget which shall be published to the other members of the state committee prior to its adoption or by separate resolution. Except, and then it ends there, and then we amend the next sentence by saying, except for funds already expended, any action of the executive board may be overruled by a resolution adopted by the majority vote of the state.
So in English, that means?
If we're going to have a budget that will authorize the expenditure of funds, we're doing it ad hoc, and that if passed by the executive board, then sent out to the state committee, and it's not like the executive board can't amend the budget for a year. Budgets are amended all the time. The point of a budget is to start setting financial goals for the party so that you don't know that you want to spend $500, say, to support the local groups. Well, if you haven't decided that, you're probably not going to raise $500 to get that money out to the local group. So budgets tend to set priorities, and if it's good, they don't have to be complex. Ours won't be complex. There's not enough money involved. I don't know whether some of you have seen the National Party budget. You know, that's a substantially more complex document. We don't need to be that complex. But that's the goal, is to start setting financial priorities and have it done on an annual basis.
Does anybody have any discussion? Mr. Lasher.
Point of understanding.
Sure.
So it sounds like we have operated in
anybody, any other comments or any, Mr. Linder?
Realize that you need to raise $1,000 to do something, you're not going to beat the drum to get those members and those donations to get it. So in some ways, the budget is an incentive system for people that are operating the party at the executive level to find out ways to bring more money, get more members.
Does anybody have anybody want to argue against this constitutional amendment?
This was also an amendment, but the investigating committee for this amendment consisted of Bob Johnston, Robert Glazer, David Bell, Jonathan Woodward, Eric Woods, and Christina Mara. The committee recommends passage unanimously and suggests an additional amendment that permits central committee members to call a central committee meeting.
So it was just strictly a point of information? Was that strictly a point of information?
It was part of the report.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions or responses? Ms. Kasiniaga.
The report from the investigative committee is that they added on to the recommendation to pass this amendment, suggesting that a second amendment to, what was that again? To allow any central committee member to call a central committee meeting.
An additional amendment that permits central committee members to call a central committee meeting.
Right. So I understand that that amendment has to be referred to another investigative committee and then voted on at the next meeting, correct?
Mr. Ahmad.
If this organization wants to accept their suggestion, then it would be treated as a totally separate amendment. Be voted, be an investigative committee of its own, and then to be voted on finally at the next meeting.
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
Okay. So we vote on the amendment today and the passage of the entire thing at the next meeting?
No. It was voted on at the last meeting to be recommended to this body, and now it's this body's opportunity to ratify it. We can't amend it. We can accept it or we can defeat it. If you really want to amend it, defeat it and then propose a new variation.
If right. You like this amendment, then
you like it, vote for it.
Okay.
Thank you, Dean. And it requires a 75% vote. Is there any, are there any other questions? Correct.
Okay.
So, like Dean said, if you don't like it, vote against it and then start from scratch on a new constitutional amendment. Any other questions? All those in favor of the amendment, Mr. Woodworth?
I was going to ask if I could add a word of support.
Okay, sure.
Special organizations in the world have a budget. I mean, small businesses, five people or more, you've never heard of one. It makes us professional, keeps us on target. I think it's imperative that we do this to step forward.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Requires a 75% vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Ms. Woodworth, would you come forward to the easel? Who wants to be a delegate to the National Convention in Austin, Texas this Memorial Day weekend? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Myself first, of course. Dean Ahmad. David Lasher, Stu Sims, Eric Blitz, David Griggs, Kyle O'Donnell, Alex Schlegel, Phil Dasson, Cliff Keller, Tim Miller, Michael Linder, Rose Mooney, Tim Mooney, Matt Beers, Susan Gastaniaga, Lorenzo Gastaniaga, Chris Wallace, Michael Downs, Paul Eads, EADS, Ed Fockler, F-O-C-H-L-E-R, David Dull, Jordan Appler,
Jared Schneiderman and
what was Jordan's last name?
Jared Schneiderman.
Jordan, back to Jordan.
Appler, A-P-P-L-E-R. Jared Schneiderman. Chris Gannon. I was also requested by Arvin Foro to throw his hat into the ring. Mr. Leonard, did you raise your hand? Okay. Anybody else want to be up for nomination or have somebody else up for nomination? You do not have to live in the state to be nominated to be a delegate, but you have to be nominated by a central committee member to be a delegate. Is that everybody? So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 26. I think it's 26. Make sure. Okay, we have 20 slots and 26 who want to go. I will let you know, in addition to the 20 that we nominate, that we have room for as many as 50 alternates that automatically go on to the list. We rarely send a full delegation. It may happen this year, but we, so don't let, if you're an alternate, don't let that stop you from making plans to go to Austin. There are also some delegations that are not as strict with their delegation process, such as our friends from Pennsylvania. We may be, if you don't get nominated to be in our state delegation, we may be able to get you into another state's delegation. Dr. Glazer.
Question. I didn't get everything down yet, but there was at least one name I didn't recognize as being a member. You don't have to be a member of the MDLP, but if you're not a member of the MDLP, you must be a member of the National
to be to serve as a delegate. That is correct.
So I think it was Jared Schneiderman, his name I'm not familiar with.
Yes.
Is that person a member of the National LP?
He's a member of the, yeah. He should be a member of the state party.
He should be a member of the state party.
S-E-H-N-I-E-I-D-R-M-E-N-N. I think you joined two or three.
I apologize.
Okay, that's fine. Any other questions before we begin?
Does anyone have any problem with me using the last initial of the last name? Robert?
No, I want the form to be the last name.
The last name, okay.
Except for Dr. Fernandez in the movie.
Well, that can't you guys. Let's start with the rest of it, because I want to see it.
All right, then I'm going to need help spelling some last name. Dean.
A-H-M-A-D.
L-A-S-H-A-R. While Crystal is entering the names, does anybody have any questions in the meantime?
David G.
Greg, G-R-I-G-G-S. Kyle O'Donnell. Alex Schlegel, S-E-H-L-E-G-E-L.
E-L,
no. Okay. E-L. Phil Dassing, D-A-S-S-I-N-G.
Jaron, your last name?
No, it's Schneiderman. S-C-H-N-E-I-D-E-R-M-A-N-N. Yes. Cliff Keller.
Tim.
Mooney, M-O-O-N-E-Y. Oh, I'm sorry, Tim Miller. Beg your pardon. Rose Mooney, M-O-O-N-E-Y, and then Tim Mooney. G-A-Z-D-A-N-A-G-A. Mis amigos. Lorenzo. Chris Wallace.
Michael Downs.
Downs. Paul Eads, E-A-D-S.
Ed.
Fockler, F-O-C-H-L-E-R. Jordan Appler, A-P-P-L-E-R. Gannon, G-A-N-N-O-N. And, of course, yes, V-O-H-R-A. Do everybody?
I think I do.
Do you have a stopwatch? Did you want to keep time?
I will keep time.
Okay. Ms. Woodworth will keep strict time on your 30 seconds. You will have to deal with her if you go over. Are you ready to start? And you will go in order of the list, and I'll begin. I'll wait till Crystal's ready to go. Okay, I shall begin. Bob Johnston, I have been in the party for 20 years. I have been state chair for 13. I have been working for the National Party. This is my 10th year. I have a record of activism. I have been to 3 national conventions. Also, I have purchased my convention package, locked up the hotel room, and got my flight. I think I've made the financial commitment to doing this. I think that's important. I do not have a presidential favorite because I'm not allowed to by the rules of my job. Thank you. Dina Mond.
Joined the Libertarian Party in 1976. Attended my first convention in 79. Since then, I've only missed 2 national conventions. Been a member of chairman of this party, national secretary, platform committee members 6 times, and I'm not settled on a candidate yet. I will consider not only my own desires, but that of this party in making a decision at the convention.
Thank you. Mr. Lasher. Mr. Lasher?
I'm here. I'm doing this for my daughter. She's in 6th grade. We are the only hope for this country and for the future. Our taking mission is to take our message to normal people, explain us to them, awaken their inner libertarian. I do this convention to follow my own understanding and messages. Building relationships, and I have no affiliations with anybody else.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Griggs.
I'm David Griggs. I was a 2018 candidate in District 7 for Congress. I've been part of LP politics since the 1970s. I supported a Libertarian candidate in 1972, and I went down to school. And I've been following Libertarian politics.
Mr. Sims.
Well, I joined the party in 1993. My second stint on the state before. So since 1992, I've donated $1,000 to the party. Came on with the National Party, and as I said, I was tickets and room at the hotel.
Thank you. Mr. Blitz.
I'm Eric Blitz. I'm the executive director. I served as the vice chair. This would be my road to go through as a delegate. I've been the state party chair of the delegation once or twice. I have not made up my mind with respect to a candidate. I have booked my flight, hotel, and the gold package, or whatever it's called.
Okay, thank you. Mr. O'Donnell.
Thank you all for hearing us today. I look forward to attending the convention in Austin, Texas. I previously attended the Florida National Convention. I have booked my flight, my room, and the gold package. And I look forward to representing the Eastern Shore. Thank you for your consideration.
Okay, and thank you for coming in on time. Let's see, Mr. Dasson.
Okay,
you did that and along with David Dole, correct.
Yes.
Okay. Is Mr. Schneiderman, are you one of you speaking on Mr. Schneiderman's behalf? Okay. Are you going to be speaking on several people? Just yourself?
I will give Jared's time.
Okay. Mr. Dole, how about your own time?
Yeah, it's really funny about the I've been a registered libertarian since 18 years old, voted for Eric Brown. David Hornberger, he got the first county libertarian convention. Anyways, back, and I'm looking forward to going to Texas.
Thank you. Mr. Keller. Okay, you just need your time. Mr. Miller.
Thanks, Mr. Miller. I am relatively new to the party, but I've had a very long time. And recently, the Bloomberger and the Mises Caucus have really inspired me to take part and make a difference. And I really want to show Austin that we got something to prove.
Thank you. Mr. Downs.
I am Michael Dow. I plan to go to Austin. I have my package. I definitely will be there. I was fortunate enough to be governor the last convention as an alternate. I came as an alternate interested in doing good work. Maybe for my family, just so that it was another way other than a big B. I would like to represent.
By the way, great tie, Mr. Downs. Rose Mooney. Okay. Tim Mooney. Okay. Matt Beers.
So, Leon, I'm Matt Beers, joined the party in 2016. I'm also a committee member. Ran for the party in 2016. Prince George's County chairman. The Rock Party libertarian. That's kind of principle I'll be bringing to the convention. I also don't have a specific candidate in mind, but I'm leaning a certain way towards Mr. Hornberger.
I think you've used. we're going to round up. Susan Gastaniaga.
Lorenzo and I have got our hotel in New Jersey. I'll be working on the plane reservation tonight. Basically, that's the important thing, that we are going to be there. And also, I'm not leaning towards any one particular candidate, a little bit towards Hornberger or maybe George Jorgensen, but I'm open-minded.
I will also add that Susan was our 2010 candidate for governor.
I also ran for president of the City Council of Baltimore.
Indeed. Lorenzo Gastaniaga. I will also add that Lorenzo was our regional rep prior to Dr. Lark being our regional rep. Is that correct? 2002 to 2004?
I wasn't.
Okay. That's right. Just wanted to, I'm sorry. I thought you were regional rep, but you were on there. Great. Thank you. Chris Wallace.
Chris Wallace. I was
Maryland
County Chair for about 3 years.
Okay, very good. Michael Downs already at that. Paul Eads.
Mr. Downs, delegate. I really like Jacob Hornberger. He's such a good best. And I'm interested in helping. Really excited to be helping anybody out.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mr. Foster.
I'm Ed Butler, lifetime national member. I do work with the Historical Preservation Committee. I'm going to Austin one way or another for them, and I would like to also represent Maryland. My views are very centrist. On the ballot, my goal here is to make the third party of merit at the national level.
It's Folkler? Sorry, I said Folkler. I beg your pardon. Okay. Mr. Appler.
Jordan Appler. I got into libertarianism through Ron Wall's 2012 campaign, became a member of the Maryland Libertarian Party in 2016, Ron Wall dropped out. I've got licensed, packaged books.
Thank you. Chris Gannon, did he cede his time to either Phil or you? But you can speak on behalf if they're not there. Mr. Linder first.
And a member of the League National Party for 30 years, married here for a very long time. Four conventions, served on the Senate committee, and I also served in Harper County as its own committee. So I've been to them before, and I want to go again. Thank you.
Okay. Michael, I apologize. I thought that was the dean on it, so I didn't mean to skip over you. So, but thank you for bringing it to my attention. Would you like to use Chris Gannon's time? Okay. Phil, you have a minute.
My name is Phil Jackson. Some of you might know me as Otto online. I was once just an online libertarian, just complaining, sat on the sidelines. I didn't think anything of joining the party, and finally with I was challenged by the chair who said, show up. So exactly what I've done. And I've now signed up for the Maryland Libertarian Party for 2 years, thanks to Doug over here. So you're stuck with me regardless. And with the inspiration of the Mises Caucus, I'm now the Maryland coordinator for the Mises Caucus. I look forward to going to Austin, Texas. I already have my plane ticket booked, and I'm ready to go to show my full support for Jacob Kornberger as well. And, yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Mr. Dahl, by my calculations, you have a minute 49. 50. Okay, I beg your pardon. I stand corrected.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Frank Conrad. My name is Mr. Dahl. I'm on Frank Conrad in 2008. I got involved in activism in 2011. Since then, I've been a volunteer for the So all of the Mises Caucus people that are in the room, they all have housing. That's something we need to bring up. So everybody has a place to stay. Also, I'm personally driving down, and anybody that is in the room. Chair Jonathan Gress, Baltimore City Vice Chair Phil Daffick, Harper County Chair Chris Gannon, hopefully soon Carroll County Chair Chris Keller, and hopefully soon Central Eastern Shore Tim Miller and Marilyn Bauer, all inspired by the Mises Caucus along with Doug Thomas. Thank you for your time.
Yes, indeed. Is there anybody that did not get their 30 seconds? Would anybody like to speak on behalf of Mr. Vora? Seeing none? Okay. Dean, would you please let everyone know how the voting system specifically works?
Our voting system is not to be confused with the Iowa caucus. The Iowa vote is very common, but the casting is very simple. You can get ballots. And are going to be paper ballots?
Yes.
There are paper.
I believe so.
You'll get a paper ballot, and you will list your candidates in order of preference. The person you most want to go, perhaps yourself, will be put at the top. And then the person you next want to see go, second, and so on, up to, actually, I think you can list as many of them as you want.
Even more than 20?
Even more than 20.
Okay.
Yes. Because you're probably going to get to the
audience,
but you can list them anyway. When you reach a point when you would rather nobody go than other remaining candidates for whom you have not yet voted, you can say no further candidates. And then what will happen this week, I'm not going to explain the vote counting in detail, but basically your vote goes to your favorite person until that person gets elected. You just keep counting the votes repeatedly. If your person gets elected, then the second, you vote for the second person, and so on down the line, until you hit no further candidates or until the number of candidates are filled, or until we run out of the maximum number of votes that we're allowed to distribute. Again, that's not all the detail of the vote counting, but it's all you need to know. Basically, just give us an order of preference. So take your time and think about it. Right? We're going to give people enough time because this is an unusually long list.
Yeah.
We'll give you enough time, God willing. And that's it. Any questions?
Any questions for Dean regarding the voting system? Are we printing out the ballots now?
Yes, we're printing them out now.
Excellent.
Now, what we have is all the candidates listed, and to the left of it, you run in the rank, 1 to 26, 1 being your first choice, 2 being your second choice, the fourth choice being the first. You don't have to vote for, you can vote for all 26 if you want to, or you can vote for 1, whatever you choose to, but put the number 1 to 26, hopefully no more than 1 of each number. Yeah. And make sure you print your name and your signature at the top. Obviously, only the 33 plus one proxy can vote.
Okay.
And I want to write
note
that.
Yeah. Remember that no further candidates is a choice, and it makes a difference whether you put it down or not. Like if you say vote for 10 candidates and then you don't say anything else, then the no further candidate vote doesn't get passed, and other people can. What it means is you don't care the order among the rest. Whereas if you don't want any of the others elected, you have to put no further candidate, and that vote will count against towards
you just write
cutting
down.
Off.
I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Don't worry.
No, seriously. Let's say you have 10 candidates that you really want to vote. But if you don't want the others to go, then say no further candidate. There's no way to do that. No further candidate should be a choice on the list. If it isn't, you're going to add to the list no further candidate. That is a rule in our bylaws that no further candidate must always be a choice.
So none
of them. They could have none of
the above. So people you could be voting for none of them.
Some of the below.
Okay, so add the extra list. No, none of the above, or whatever you want to call it. And that would be one of the ranks. We didn't put that on the list.
And the ballots are now being distributed.
...13 minutes while members complete their ballots.
Can we all take a seat, please? Is there anyone who has not turned in their ballot? Is there anyone who has not turned in their ballot? Okay, we're going to get going, Beth. Okay. Everyone, please take a seat. So we can keep going. Mr. Dahl, Mr. Dassing, please take a seat.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sorry, sir.
Dean Ahmad, Mr. Sims, can we please take a seat?
No!
Dean Ahmad, please take a seat. Okay. Robert, do you have all the ballots? All right, I presume he does. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Okay. While Robert is computing the numbers, I would like to invite Dr. Lark to give his regional representative's report on the LNC.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is always a great pleasure to have the opportunity to attend the Libertarian Party of Maryland meeting, convention, or have picnics, because I have the chance to see a lot of great heroes in the Liberty movement. So I think the best thing to do is just to see if you all have any questions about what's going on. We live in interesting times. Some of you may know I hopped on a plane a little over a week ago, went to Spain to talk to give a lecture at the big European Students for Liberty conference. And as soon as I leave the United States, things start going to hell. I am pleased, by the way, they did let me back into the United States. I'm always worried, since I'm an official enemy of the state, that they will decide that, no, we just don't need your kind around here. So I guess the best thing to do is just ask you all, do you have any questions about which one? Yes, sir.
There are rumors that the national convention will be rescheduled or canceled.
I've heard of those rumors, yes.
Okay.
We really don't know. My understanding is that the city of Austin has clamped down basically on meetings basically up until May 1st. And so who knows what's going to happen. My LNC colleagues and I are noodling about what we can do. Of course, we have bylaws that we have to observe. And frankly, we don't really have a lot of, in my opinion, easy options if the convention is canceled, if we simply can't have it where we've scheduled. We're looking into these things, but I don't know that there are any easy, good options for us. We'll have to figure that out. Yes, sir.
Theoretically, if the convention can't be held, what happens?
Excellent question. We don't know. Yeah. Well, that's the only one I can muster right now. Yes.
Republican, Democrat, conspiracy.
Well, if you know the city of Austin, and keep Austin real. We're looking into these things. Now, please, God, let's hope that things go as planned and we're able to have our convention in Austin. But I don't know what will happen if City of Austin cancels or if the hotel cancels. We're looking into some contingencies. But again, we also have to follow our bylaws and what we're actually allowed to do. I'm just not sure. Thank you for asking that easy question. I would like to start with an easy question. Yes, sir.
Just a little over in Europe, I know that you go over there frequently. What's the state of liberty in Europe right now?
Well, frankly, not. I hate to say it, but in many ways, the United States is still the bastion of liberty, and given our rather depressed state of liberty in this country, that's rather an unfortunate thing. I am pleased to say that, at least with respect to the youth movements in Europe, that we're seeing a lot of very bright, talented young people who are self-identified libertarians. It is interesting, by the way, the issues that are of perhaps greatest importance to them do differ a little bit from the ones we have in the United States. Of course, here in the United States, right to keep and bear arms issues are of extreme importance. I mean, my knees jerk violently when it comes to right to keep and bear. I take what one might call a rather robust interpretation of the right to keep and bear arms. There, it's a very different issue. I mean, the very different culture. And that's not one that really rises to the ones that really cite it. But I am pleased to see, again, these bright, talented young people who, and I also, I speak English moderately well. I know enough Russian, enough German, enough Spanish, enough Portuguese to get my face slapped in a bar. That's an old joke. My face has not been slapped in a bar. To see these bright, talented young people who understand libertarian ideas and can express them in several languages, I think is really, really nice. I just find that particularly appealing. So we're seeing Students for Liberty have done a wonderful job. European Students for Liberty have done a wonderful job. By the way, Students for Liberty, their big event, which is one of the biggest libertarian events in the country, has been canceled because of what's going on in the United States these days. By the way, the European Students for Liberty event in Madrid, the people running it said they felt that they lost about 250 students who did not attend because of the problems associated with coronavirus. They ended up having about 750 people, students there, but they figured that they lost about 250 who didn't attend because of that. Timing is everything, as they say in Hollywood. Yes, sir.
So
Who would you declare to be NCAA championship?
Well, all right. Since we decided to move to the important things in life, I have to tell you, as a former basketball player, I didn't see anybody this year that really, really impressed me that much. There are a lot of good teams. Some of you have the similar idea that I might favor the University of Virginia. I hasten to remind you, I'm a Virginia Tech alumnus. UVA just pays me. Pardon me? Not really. Well, there are some UVA people who basically, I'm third generation Virginia Tech, and there's some UVA people who say, well, that's quite a record of mediocrity. I have responses that are not repeatable until I come. Further questions, comments, arguments? Well, my email address is jwlark@virginia.edu. If I can be of any assistance to you, please do not hesitate to contact me. We will try. We'll try, if we find out anything about, of course, the convention, we will let you know as soon as possible. I'm hoping that we do not have to make some unpleasant decisions. But you never know this day and age. So, again, we'll try to keep you apprised of what's going on, and we'll do the best job we can. So, again, if I can be of any assistance to you, please don't hesitate to contact me. Yes, sir?
Do you need toilet paper?
Do you mean with me?
Yes.
Actually, the gentleman raises an interesting question. When I drive up to this neck of the woods, there's a Harris Teeter grocery store that I like. And I always stop in there because it also works out that if I need a call of nature, they do have a bathroom. This is the first time I've been in a grocery store where the locusts have come through. And it really was interesting to go through. The meat section was, there was like one package of beef.
Halfway done, third done, quarter done.
We're halfway done the first done.
We did issue a press release. Specifically, we talked about the fact that the problem here that the tax division was actually manufactured in North Carolina, and they've been providing but not legal to use it in the United States right now. So that's essentially where we were. I would like to say that the president's press conference the other day, where he said that they were going to get out of the way of private industry, he might have read our press.
You're assuming
you're reading. Something to add someone.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, it's a little early, but if the National Party is going to go to court with respect to any of these failure to field petition, is it anticipated that you're going to bring one action against multiple states, or is this going to have to be a state-by-state effort?
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, I just wonder whether the LNC has been talking to Oliver about.
Well, Oliver's been talking to us, and we haven't gotten to the point where we've, at least I haven't seen a formalized strategy. Dan, do you?
Yeah, so there is the beginnings of a strategy. We've put this at Oliver. This is his number one thing now. We're not working on any other legal issues. We're slightly involved, if you're aware of the case in Connecticut. That is probably the most important libertarian case since Heller. And I can go into that briefly if you'd like. But it's going to have to be state by state.
just because the states have such varied laws that we are doing everything we can. And if you know somebody who's a petitioner, if you know somebody that's a petitioner that didn't want to work because they're afraid they're going to get sick, if you know somebody who's a petitioner who had a hard time getting a signature, if you know somebody who refused, didn't want to sign because they were afraid, anywhere, anecdotally across the country, lp.org/report. We are building a list of affidavits for all of our court cases everywhere. So ask around. If you hear somebody says something on Twitter or Facebook or something like that, please tell them lp.org/report. We are building up a mountain of paperwork so that we can go to court relatively quickly, and we do intend to do so.
Again,
yeah.
Understanding that probably going to be your answer, my follow-up question would be, is the LNC looking at funding some of the state parties to do this kind of legal challenge?
We don't have anything specific, but
bring
that to bear. Yeah, we clearly need to do that. At this point in time, the funding is more looking for the general. We know we're going to have to spend money, but you're right. There needs to be thoughts about what's going to happen, and probably consulting with each team. I did send a letter out to all the state chairs. We're also Bob and I can't remember the name of the green chair, but
Andy Ellis.
Yeah, in Maryland, issued a press release. I sent a letter to Governor Hogan, the head of the Board of Elections, and the Speaker, President of the Senate, essentially asking for that. We asked every state to do that. Those letters have all been reviewed, are being reviewed by counsel beforehand, sending those. We also have that built in there. But you're right, we're going to need a war chest for in all the states as well.
Just throwing it out there that you might want to tailor the letter to the Senate president to remind him that he did sponsor our bill for ballot access.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else for Dr. Lark or Mr. Fishman?
Well, again, as always, it's great to see the Libertarian Party in Maryland.
While Dr. Glazer and Ms. Woodworth are compiling the votes, I would like to suspend the rules. We have four presidential campaigns which have purchased tables and helped to subsidize the cost of our convention. I would like to suggest that we allow that each of them 5 minutes to address the group, and they can spend that 5 minutes as they wish. If you want to ask questions, you can raise your hand, but it's up to them if they want to acknowledge your question. I'm going to divide this into two parts. Number one, is there anyone who is against having the presidential candidates or their representatives speak to the group? Hearing none. Is there anyone who disagrees with the 5 minute time limit? Hearing none. Is there any objection to I'll keep time.
Okay.
Okay, so is there any objection to the suspension of the rules to do this? Hearing none, I'm going to go then in the order of those who contacted me. Is there a representative of Sam Robb's campaign here? They did pay for a table, but I'm not aware if Mr. Robb or Mr. Squealo is here. Hearing not or seeing not, next will be Connor Knox representing the Vermin Supreme campaign.
Hello, everyone. I'm Connor Knox, and I'm an urban farmer, and I'm on the Vermin Supreme campaign team. Prepare to speak. I'm kind of nervous.
Okay, you're good.
Go for it.
Same way. All right.
I just want to start off by thanking our candidates for being here, and I'm sure all of you are shining the examples of libertarian principles, but at the moment, that's not what we need to grow our party. Our presence in the media, and most of all, our conversation. Vermin Supreme has offered to do just that. As a viral performance artist, stage hog, and political veteran, his antics will launch us into national recognition. Can Vermin run the country? Will Vermin ruin the party? Can a satirical candidate be president? All questions that don't matter. Every conversation, every debate, and every argument about him is one less about the bipartisanship. Don't get me wrong, nominating Vermin would be us playing dirty. Finally tipping the scales in our favor. Playing the their game of respectability politics has gotten us, has been an uphill battle for decades. We are the only ones playing. So, with much love and hate, I endorse Vermin Supreme.
What's the difference between what I just heard and our current president?
Well, he's running on our platform.
Connor, we spoke briefly Facebook Messenger a couple of months ago, and any word of maybe Vermin actually running as VP with Jake Kornberger?
I'd have to bring it up to him, but maybe, who knows? Anybody else?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dodge.
Well done.
Mr. Armstrong, are you ready to go?
Well, hi, hey, thanks, by the way. Thanks for making time for us to do this. I'm Ted Armstrong, and I know my campaign manager is sitting back there, you know, Paul. He tells me constantly, you gotta tell people what your qualifications are, because people don't know enough about your background. And so he says, tell them about the fact that you were elected to public office in Honolulu County, and you know what it's like to serve at county-level office. And he's telling you were a NATO-based commander and that you understand what it's like to serve inside of the NATO organization, and you understand why we need to disband NATO and bring the troops home. He said, tell them you were the CEO of Habitat for Humanity in Hawaii, and you understand the issues of homelessness and how we're tackling it. I'm not going to tell you any of that stuff. I'm not going to talk about that, okay? I want to talk about something that's just right in front of us right now, that we need to just, this, the week that we're in right now, we're going to be looking back on one of these days like 9/11, and we're going to say this is the week that everything changed. And we really need to be thinking about this, because what brought us to the place that we are today with the coronavirus? What do we want from our government? And the truth of the matter is, there's a whole lot of stuff we don't know right now about what we want, what we expect from our government, if anything at all. But one thing that we haven't gotten, that we desperately need out of this government, out of any government, is honesty and answers. We need information. The fact that the test kits aren't available still, even though they've said that they may become available, the fact that we're not testing enough people, that's a critical piece of information. We don't really know where we are on the evolutionary curve of this thing. We're making a whole bunch of assumptions based on lack of information. And we're finding out that the government was deliberately not telling us things. Maybe they were protecting us from ourselves, or maybe they were protecting the stock market. Whatever it was, information is one of the few things that the government, one of the few commodities that the government has that we really actually need from them. And we need honesty, and we need openness, and we need transparency in government. And one of the best ways to do that, by the way, the bigger and more monolithic a thing becomes, the less it provides you the information you need out of it. Shrinking government is one of the best ways to get it to serve the people the way that it needs to do. But we're seeing this, and I implore you, as we move forward through this thing, let's be the voices of sensibility in holding the government to task and shining a bright light on the information that comes out of this. Any questions from anybody about anything I haven't told you?
Mr.
How are you going to grow the party?
How am I going to grow the party? Well, I have been doing that for a year now, as a matter of fact. I understand we've had a year of phenomenal growth. I'm going to take all the credit for that. I have been traveling 47 states so far in the last 10 months, visited with thousands of people, put 47,000 miles on the car. That's the key, is one person at a time talking to people, explaining the principles of the party. I haven't met anyone on the road in the last 10 months that didn't perk up and really show interest when we talked about the principles.
1 minute to go.
1 minute.
I see you want to end the war on just marijuana and psychedelics. I'm all in favor of ending the entire war on drugs. Where do you stand on that?
Absolutely. I am actually anti-prohibitionist. We were kind of hitting some of the highlights there. Government hasn't made anything ever better by prohibiting it, period. So I'm anti-prohibition.
You said marijuana and psychedelics, just whole war on drugs.
As a matter of fact, I want to tell you, I used to be on the inside of the war on drugs. I know that's not a very good political thing to say, but I was the one who got the admiral who was in charge of the war on drugs a number of years ago to admit in writing that it had been a failure. They admitted that in writing years ago and still haven't shut the thing down.
Okay, time is up. Thank you, Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Mr. Hornsberger.
Sorry, numbers in my phone.
Please.
Thank you all very much, and it's great to be here with you at Maryland Libertarian Party State Convention. And I want to especially thank the Mises Caucus. You guys have been great. I've been, I don't know, 18 conventions this year, and every convention there's the Mises Caucus people have come up to me and said, what do you need? Trump's fierce commitment to preserve Social Security and Medicare, which are the crown jewels of American socialism, welfare state socialism. Both of them originated among German socialists in the late 19th century. And on top of that, there's the farm subsidies, including Trump's welfare plan for the farmers that he's bankrupted with his vicious trade war against China, education grants, foreign aid to their favorite dictators, including those in Ukraine. The list goes on and on. Now, we can play it safe in this party. We can nominate a presidential candidate that's going to run the standard Republican-like campaign. Reform Social Security. Reform Medicare. Reform, you know, immigration, health care reform, on and on. And if we play it safe, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll get our 3%. Maybe 4.2%, but who cares? We've been here 49 years as a party, and we're celebrating a 3% return in the presidential race. I say, let's roll the dice.
Let's do it.
I say, let's go for it. Let's go with something bold. And what is bold? Bold is fighting this campaign with our principles, pure libertarian principles. We take it to them. If we get in those presidential debates, we take it right to them. We hit them. We hit them hard again. Social Security, abolish it. Seniors are not going to vote for us unless they're libertarian seniors. We go to the younger people in this country, the 50-year-olds and below, and we say, they're insulting you. They're plundering and looting you. And they're insulting you by saying that you need to be forced to be good and caring to your parents and grandparents. They're forcing, they're saying that churches won't come through, that people won't come through voluntarily. We believe in freedom. Freedom works. You could abolish this program today, and freedom would work. And that's the message. If we libertarians are not going to believe in freedom, how do we expect other people to believe in freedom? I grew up in the poorest city in the United States. This was before Medicare and Medicaid. Doctors' offices were filled with poor people. And then all of a sudden, Medicare, and nobody ever got refused for failure to pay. Doctors did it voluntarily. And then Medicare and Medicaid came into play and destroyed the finest healthcare system in history. And we've got this centrally managed healthcare system. That's the problem with this coronavirus thing. That everybody's looking to the paternalistic state to solve their problems instead of a healthcare industry that would be a free market healthcare system under libertarianism. Immigration, open borders and free trade, drug war, legalize them all, guns, anybody's got a right to own whatever he wants. We fight with our principle. That's what I'm suggesting here with this campaign, if I'm accorded the honor of your nomination. Our principles are everything. We're not Republican lights. We're not Democrat lights. We are libertarians. We have a radical philosophy. We need to embrace that radicalism. They have the money. They have the power. We have ideals and principles. And I say, let's take these swords and these shields into this battle. And let's hit them, and let's beat them. Yeah. Yes. I'm here to ask for your support. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Hanford. And finally, Mr. Heist of the Mises Caucus. Okay. 5 minutes? I'm feeling generous today.
I don't even think I'm going to take the 5 minutes. Okay. So I wasn't even aware I was getting this until last night, so I'm going to wing it. But first of all, I want to thank everybody for coming out. There's no fair weather freedom fans here. Everyone's braving the virus to come out, so that's awesome. Not giving in fear. That's what we need to be all about. But I guess what I'll use my time for is to describe what the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus is and what we're about. So let me start off by asking people, who here was, like me, a product of the Ron Paul Revolution? All right, now let me ask you guys a question. I want some input. How did the Ron Paul Revolution feel to you while you were in it? Let's start with Dana.
Indescribable. Awesome.
Try. What memories and what feelings does it conjure up?
Sheer passion.
Bill?
Felt like I was the one represented by someone, and it felt good.
Who else had their hands up? Sir?
Probably the part of a revolution.
Yeah, absolutely. And I felt the same way. I did not feel like I was part of a campaign. I felt like I was part of a revolution. I felt like I was part of something that was presenting the truth, and the truth is radical in an empire of lies. And that's what the Mises Caucus is all about. It's about trying to galvanize that revolution and bring it into the Libertarian Party, and to put forward a strategy to keep them in the Libertarian Party. Dan had a chart earlier that said, what, 60% of people, over 60% of people that come in leave the party within their first year. Why? Why? Well, I would say that there's two things that make up, that are going to hold us together that we have to maintain. Trust, faith in what we believe in, faith in that our principles work, and passion. And because there's no one that's going to come to save us. It's only us, as Dan said earlier. So what do we have to offer as a Libertarian Party? We're not one of the big teams. We don't win as much. So what do we have to offer? Well, I agree with Jacob. What we have to offer is our principles. So how do we mold that into a strategy that can and does work? Well, with the advent of Mises PAC, we also have a PAC now, we have put forward a three-pronged strategy to push libertarians into the public lexicon. One, we use the PAC to support local level candidates across the country. So county and lower. We support the presidential candidate, but nothing in between. Local level candidates are where we win. All of our elected libertarians are local. I'm also a big proponent of the fact that in a society like this, that's as dichotomized and divided as it is, our arguments are not enough. Our principles are not enough when people are already on a team. So we come back to what breaks that mold. It's trust. It's trust. You can't even make the arguments until you're in a position of trust where people will listen to you. So what creates trust in an age of dichotomization and division? So that brings us to the second part of our three-pronged plan, issue coalitions. If we are the catalyst, if we go to progressive, so like one of the issues that we've gotten involved in is psychedelic decriminalization, which should be a big thing here in Maryland. Johns Hopkins University is right here in Baltimore, and they are leading the charge on psychedelic science studies and have been for decades. There is now a movement of psychedelic decriminalization, mostly from progressives. If we are the catalyst, if we go to them and say, hey, you're progressives, we're going to out-progress you, let's push this forward, well then that builds trust. And then from a place of trust, we can make our arguments.
1 minute to go.
1 minute? Okay. So then that brings me to the third problem, intra-party activism. We are recruiting people into the party, and the libertarian movement is much bigger than the libertarian party. So we have to listen to the movement as to why they're not here. We have to ask them the tough and accept the tough answers that they might give us as to why they're not here. And one thing that we've done to improve that is we have gone on a campaign of recruiting the voices of the movement. So Tom Woods has come in. Dave Smith has come in. Scott Horton has come in to support both us and Jacob Hornberger. And that is, in my opinion, a big part of the membership surge that Daniel has described. So I guess that's my time. If anyone has any other questions for me, I'll be here.
Thank you. Ms. Woodworth. Ms. Woodworth, how are we on the counting of the votes? Halfway done. Okay. Would somebody else, Jonathan, would you help out Robert with the numbers? I'm going to need Ms. Woodworth for a specific reason. Crystal. Okay, we are now going to have the executive vote, elect officers to the executive board. We have to do this in two parts because of the state constitution mandates. We have to elect a chair separately. So I'm going to have our honorable vice chair, Crystal Woodworth, take the chair temporarily for the vote for chair.
Okay, I would like to open the floor for nominations for the chair.
I nominate Bob Johnston. I hear he's a great guy.
Second. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations for chair? Seeing none, nominations are closed. Those in favor of electing Mr. Johnston as chair, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Thank you, Ms. Woodworth. Thank you all. My three priorities for this term are, number one, get that damn petition drive done, or one way to get us back on the ballot. Number two, get our presidential nominee on the ballot so at least we have one candidate to vote for in November. And number three, to start to help work out more with the county groups. I really want to build them. I would love to see the Harford County group, and if I could help out the Woodworths with the Upper Chesapeake group and help to build them to the point where not only do we catch up to Anne Arundel, we stomp them, crush them, and leave them in the dust.
Dream on.
I will also say this. This will be my 14th year, and it's going to be my last year as chair. I need to take a break, and 2021 would be a good time to do it. We'll have a full year for a new chair to prepare for the 2022 elections. Like I said, I want to work with the county groups. I also need to learn more about how the state of Maryland works. I don't know enough about it. How does the school funding work? What about infrastructure, the roads, the environment? And I just don't have the time to do that right now while serving as chair. So by being able to step back, I'll actually be a better activist once I can speak better on that. So if anyone is thinking about being a chair, let me know or get on the executive board or at least come to some of the meetings so you can find out how it works out. We now have six positions for the executive board, and nominations are open for those six positions. Mr. Linder.
I'd like to nominate myself and also Eric Blitzer.
Okay. Do you accept Mr. Blitz?
I nominate.
Do you accept Mr. Sims? Okay. I nominate Crystal Woodward.
I nominate David Doe.
Do you accept? Okay. Any other? That's five. We can nominate less than, we don't need to have, we have at least a quorum. That's all we need minimum. Is anybody else wish to nominate somebody or be on the board? Mr. Schlegel?
In favor of Philip.
Do you accept?
Yeah, I accept.
Okay. I like that rousing. Yeah, what the hell. Oh, Robert Glaser. Thank you. I presume Dr. Glaser accepts. Okay. Is there anybody else? Okay, that gives us 7 people for 6 positions, so we will have to take a vote on that. The, yep. Correct.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Michael, did you say that you're going to set down as treasurer?
Yes, I'm going to transfer to that. What's that?
Mike, you don't have to be on the board. You can still come to the meetings if you want. If you want to be on the board, that's up to you.
So
I'm saying you don't have to be a board member to do that, but that's up to you if you want.
I was going to be on the board for a few months.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just missed that part. We in the exact board, we decided who's going to be
the That is correct.
And then I want to make sure that somebody didn't want to do it out of those folks that nominated.
Right. That's up to the board to decide, but I need them to print up the ballots because we have 7 people running for 6 slots.
You asked if one of them would like to withdraw.
Would any of the 7 like to withdraw so we could nominate as a slate? Hearing none. You're going to withdraw?
Yep.
Okay. Therefore, we have 6 people for 6 slots. We can nominate, we can elect this as a slate with a 2/3 vote. All those in favor of the slate? What's that? Yes. That is correct. So we have 6 people for 6 slots. All those in favor of the slate say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The slate is elected. Okay. We are now...
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Blitz. Would you be so kind to serve as temporary secretary?
Sure.
Okay. Is there any opposition to Mr. Bliss operating as a temporary secretary while the current secretary is compiling votes? Great. Hearing none. I move to change alter the bylaws under National Convention delegates. Currently, the language says we can nominate a slate of National Convention delegates if it is less than the number of slots available. I would like to change that to less than or equal to. So that way, if we had 20 delegates and 20 slots, we don't have to take the vote. We can nominate those 20. Is there a second? Is there anyone who would like to speak against the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. The floor is now open for any new business.
Before we go to new business, don't we have to appoint an investigation committee to make a report?
Correct. Okay, does anybody have any announcements?
I wanted to make an announcement. I'd like to propose the suggestion made by the investigation committee.
Could you stand and speak, please? Some people may not be able to hear you.
I would like to propose a formal motion, the suggestion of the previous investigation committee, that we provide a mechanism by which the
central committee members can call a central committee meeting.
Say that one more time.
Recommendation of the previous investigation when they recommended on the bylaw, the constitutional amendment we passed today,
mm-hmm.
was that we should amend the Constitution so that there's some mechanism by which the central committee members can call a central committee meeting.
The chair can call one. A majority of the executive board can call one. The majority of local central committee chairs, if they have them, can call one. Are you sure we don't cannot? I think there are four ways you can call a meeting.
We have
now. I beg your pardon?
How many local central
committees do we have? None official. Well, because we're not recognized as a party.
That's new.
Right. But I still think that a majority of the central committee members, let me double check, can call a meeting.
Okay, I believe it was because we thought they couldn't that we made the book suggestion.
There's four ways you can call a meeting. I'm sorry, chair, vice chair, majority of the board, or written request of the chair of the local central committee. So would you like to make a constitutional amendment?
Yes.
Okay, Eric, this will be under section 6B. And what is specifically is your...
Well, I'm going to want some feedback from the body as to what percentage it should be, but I'd like to allow a petition for the percentage of the central committee members to be sufficient to call a central committee meeting.
Okay. And the reason being?
The reason being that we just put in a mechanism for the budget that gives the central committee the ability to override the budget committee. And if there's no means by which that central committee can call a meeting, then that power is almost meaningless.
Yeah. Is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Okay. Is there anyone who would like to speak to this motion? Allow me to say this. This probably would, we shouldn't have problems. Maryland is pretty well organized. There are some states where they have had trouble getting quorum for state conventions and state meetings, or they just have not been filing their own rules and bylaws. So this is not an out of the park occurrence. Mr. Sims. I'm going to move to amend to 20. 10, I think, is too light. Is there any discussion on 20? We have 44 central committee members. So what Dean is saying is basically we need five central committee members could force the calling of a meeting. I'd say my would do nine. Mr. Crawling.
If I recall, we have 10 days to do.
Correct. 10 days to call a meeting. Okay, I will withdraw my unanimous consent, I will withdraw my amendment and make it 20. Hearing none, okay, it is 10%. Mr. Linder.
Maybe I didn't catch this. Did you determine the number of central committees at the base of
time? At the time the petition is submitted.
So, if you're an involved person, you can run out and... put more members, say here, 20 state members of party, tell the state secretary you will be a member of the committee. So you can, I would say, back and forth. We can do that, right?
That would be an argument for you teaching the percentage of up
10. All right, well, I'll make sure that that's.
Mr. Lasher.
10% is at a gut level feel of organizations as well. 10% sounds low, but four people, five people in a single meeting.
Well, Mr. Blitz.
One reason to limit this, the occurrence of this, is. You have the state central committee meeting. Now they can do any. So people will be confused about the state central committee meeting, not knowing what this is going to be about. And you could run the. I mean, this happens with board of directors, where you start a rapid fire meeting. And the danger is people grow tired of coming to the meeting. They don't show up, and somebody forces real changes to the constitution and bylaws, things like that. Group. And bylaws, remember, can go at that same meeting. So you might want to have a higher threshold than 10%.
Or you might want to make the amendment to only call the meeting for a specific stated purpose.
So, you can do that. The danger will be you will have arguments about whether it's within the scope of
report. Yeah, and let me say this. And let me say this. I mean, yes, I know we're a small group right now. We've been for a long time. Don't think that the Democrats and Republicans aren't aware of our ballot access, and if it's not that hard to hijack the party. I used to be a courier 30 years ago. I was a big Howard Stern fan. I thought it was hilarious when he tried to take over the New York State convention. Now as a state chair, I wouldn't find it quite as hilarious. So these things are important because, you know, to protect the party, because, again, with a little bit of organization, it's not that hard to hijack a party or get jam a candidate in there that real libertarians may not like. Mr. Gold.
The little backward in power. At the spring convention, and then we found out in the exec board meeting that that the finance committee can just accept any expenditure they want, and that the exec board can't do that. So I did not like having all that power. There was all the power to spend every cent that's in coffers with three people on one of those. So in the meantime, I said, like, look, anything that we approve, if the exec board doesn't want to do that, like, I'll just remake my vote and, you know, go along with everything. So we're trying to make the checks and balances to that. That's why we're getting rid of the finance committee altogether, letting the exec board handle these budgets, and then giving the opportunity for the board or for the central committee to stop the exec board from running the money. So I understand there's a question about 10-20%. But could we not make the amendment more of a broader scope for now and allow the investigative committee to decide something and come back to us? Because anybody who could spend an hour here arguing about this,
then that would have to be discussed outside of the meeting, or it could be done inside the meeting or whatever. But as far as to be voted on and the motion passed to get the process going, you have to have a specific motion with a specific percentage. And the percentage right now is 10%.
To rephrase what you're saying, if you pass this motion now, the investigative committee can advise that it should be defeated as it stands, amended by whatever they come up with, and then we would make that amendment next time, and then we'd have to vote on the thing the following time.
I like that.
Okay. So if you would reiterate, where specifically are we right now?
I'm going to say that the central committee, a petition by a central, by 10% of the central committee, they call a central committee meeting for a specific stated purpose.
Okay. Does anybody wish to speak against this motion? I will. In the consideration of Eric Liss's comments, I think the threshold should be higher.
Okay. Well, then you're not withdrawing your motion, and we can have a vote on the threshold.
Okay. I move to make the threshold 20%. Is there a second? Okay, does anybody wish to speak against the 20% threshold?
No,
he's not.
If nobody objects, let's make it 20%.
You want to take it as a friendly amendment?
Friendly amendment.
Okay. All right, Mr. Lasher.
Just to move forward with that, right? So, the organization you were talking about,
we have approximately 5,000 members can all put the eligible to vote, however we have requirements in order to vote. We call them active members. But there's roughly 120-ish active members.
So lower thresholds are usually appropriate for larger organizations, so it's a sample of black and off.
Okay. Okay, probably do. So we have 20 minutes to go. Dr. Glaser, how are we doing right now?
We're voter number 21.
Okay, about three quarters of the way there. Mr. Blitz.
I just throwing out as a potential wording, I think it should be a written petition, just so we know.
Yes. Any other comment on this motion? Okay, this is the first part. If it passes, then it goes to an investigative committee. It's published in the newsletter, the findings, and then it'll come up for the final vote at the next central committee meeting, which tentatively will be the picnic. Mr. Linder.
With all that, you guys, do we have a statement of the petition as you want to publish?
Well, I've stated it. The secretary can read it back.
Please.
Yeah. So we know we're voting for.
Yeah. A written petition of 20% of the state central committee may call a meeting of the state central committee for a specific stated purpose.
Okay.
20% or more? It's not exactly 20%, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so
If there's no more questions or no more responses, let's take the vote. All those in favor of this motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion passes. Thank you. Is there any other new business? By the way, just a point of information, several of us will be going to the bar afterwards out here, so feel free to join us. Some of us were looking forward to March Madness selection picks in an hour and 20 minutes. Unfortunately, that will not be happening, which sucks, especially with Maryland having their potential best chance to make postseason run since their 2002 national convention. Thank you, David. Mr. Dahl.
Oh, yeah, we have to appoint the members of the
committee. Okay, what is it?
Well, we usually ask for volunteers, and then a certain number has to be for the committee, and a certain number not.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Come here.
Is a committee of the chairman, one other member of the executive board, and at least three volunteers from the state central committee.
So I was just myself, Mr. Blitz, since he's now official member of the executive board. Dean, you're a member of the state central committee?
Yeah.
Mr. Dahl? One more, at least one more person who's a central committee member? Mr. Crawley? Very good. We'll take care of that. Okay, folks, if there's any other business or announcements, other than that, we are just waiting for the final tally. David, Brian, myself, Eric, and Dean. I'm going to propose taking a recess, so, you know, feel free to, is there a second? So feel free if you all want to, you know, get something to drink or eat or whatever. We won't be shutting down yet.
The recess lasts 36 minutes.
There's never been an excess demand.
We're not done. We're not done, okay? 15 delegates have been elected. 5 remain to be elected. Okay? But let me announce the names of the people that have been elected so far.
We have to convert our code.
B.O.B. I assume that's Bob. VHI, that was a Phil in there somewhere,
Phil.
Right?
Yep. Phil Dasson.
Phil Dasson.
D-U-L,
David
Dawes. Dawes, all right. DEA, that's Dean Amon. WAL, that was Chris Wallace, I believe.
Yes.
STU, Stu Sims. ERI, Eric Blitz. SUS, Susan Dasenyaga. J-A-R, that was
Jordan.
Now, J-A-R.
J-A-R is Jared.
Schneiderman.
MIL, it was
Mike Linder?
No.
Michael Dan?
No.
Tim Miller, probably.
Tim Miller.
Lorenzo.
ALE, that was Alexander.
Schlegel.
CLI, that was Cliff.
Keller.
And that should have been 15 people.
Okay.
There 13. 13.
13. Uh-uh. Now, where's the...
That's you.
DOW, that was Michael Downs. LAS, that was David Lasker?
Lasher.
That should be 15?
It's 15. We have another podcast.
All right, now I'm going to explain that. At this point, we have a choice. You have the option. People who have not been elected have the option of withdrawing so that the votes that would have gone to them go to one of the other unelected people. If not, then what happens is that we just continue with the process.
No, we remove the people with the fewest
We remove the ones who don't have enough.
The smallest number of votes.
The smallest number of votes get removed, and we continue the count with the people
who
are left.
We need to clear.
In other words,
so this is
either the five people.
Yeah, we need to elect five more.
Either the people with the
worst question. Does anybody who was not did not win want to withdraw?
I'll withdraw. David Gray.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Of course.
Yes, question, Lorenzo?
Yeah, now, if you withdraw as a delegate, you still can go as a delegate.
If you are a member of the Central Committee, you will be automatically elected as an alternate.
Correct.
And if you choose to show up and there's a vacancy, you can fill it.
Okay.
But
you're not out of the game.
You're not out of the game. No.
But
only Central Committee members. If you're not a Central Committee member, and this election is
already
done.
Easily.
Yeah, seating of alternates is pretty easy.
Folks, we do need to clear the room.
Okay.
We've been pushing our luck. So,
well, how do you want to handle this, Bob?
We'll get back to the results when.
Well, if you're adjourning to the bar, those who don't want to leave can go adjourn to the bar, and we'll make the announcement there.